Welcome to this HIV Australia podcast. My name is Daniel Storer from the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisation. Today I'm having a discussion with Associate Professor Christopher Fisher, Acting Director of the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society at La Trobe University in Melbourne, about the recent results from the National Survey of Secondary School Students and Sexual Health Survey. So Christopher, can you just give us a quick overview of what the survey is and who completes it?
Yes, absolutely. So the survey is, it's been going on for about 25 years in Australia. The first one was done in 1992, and it was in response to concerns at the time that HIV was going to become a significant issue for adolescents across Australia. And so the survey was designed to measure knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors around particularly HIV, but also other STIs and sexual health more generally. And so we've been doing the survey about every 5 years since then. So this is the sixth iteration of the survey. It's funded by the Commonwealth of Australia.
Cool. Has the format of the focus of the survey changed over the 25 years?
We definitely have made additions and changes to the survey over the time. So there have been some real consistencies, which is really valuable information for Australia. So, for example, we've asked the same HIV knowledge questions for the last 25 years, but we've also added in new questions around STIs, particularly in the last couple of iterations, HPV, with the advent of the vaccination, and viral hepatitis as well. That's become more of a growing concern. And then also in these last two surveys, we've started adding in questions around experiences around sex education, both in the schools and then more broadly looking at who they're confident talking to, who do they trust, how frequently do they access various sources of information around sexual health.
All right, cool. All right, we might get into some of the results of the survey then. So knowledge is obviously a big portion of the survey. So knowledge of transmission of HIV and STIs is important so people can obviously determine their level of risk and how to reduce their risk. What does the latest responses from the survey tell us about secondary students' knowledge of HIV and STI transmission and testing?
Sure. So overall, we're actually doing pretty well in terms of HIV knowledge and HIV transmission knowledge as well as STI transmission knowledge, where we see kind of particularly around all of the sexual ways that HIV can be, or an STI can be transmitted sexually, young people seem to be pretty knowledgeable about that. Where we actually do see some disparities, we've been seeing a steady decline in some of the non-sexual modes of transmission, particularly around HIV. So, for example, can you get HIV from a mosquito? The answer is no. And so we're seeing increasingly more and more young people not getting that question correct or not knowing the answer to it.
Right.
And our sense is that probably has to do with it's probably less covered in, say, a school system or in community health messaging, and also the kind of rise of things like Zika virus and other viruses that you see and they get a lot of media attention that might kind of draw their attention and confuse, well, HIV is a virus, maybe it can be transmitted by a mosquito. So there's definitely, you know, we've seen some declines in those kinds of questions, but overall doing really well terms of the knowledge.
Cool. Yeah, that's quite an interesting deduction that the decrease in the correct response to can HIV be transmitted by mosquitoes to other viruses that can potentially be. That's a really interesting point. And obviously a sign of the times as well with the way that infectious disease is reported in the media.
Absolutely.
So understanding sexual behaviours of young people is important so we can tailor existing sexual health education programs. What do the responses from the latest survey tell us about the secondary school students' sexual activity, the use of contraception and HIV and STI prevention methods?
Sure, absolutely. So the overall, when we look at the numbers, so we ask for a whole range of sexual behaviors, from masturbation through mutual masturbation, oral sex, vaginal and anal sex. And what we're finding is about 47% of young people in the years 10 to 12 group for this survey have engaged in some form of sexual intercourse, so either vaginal or anal intercourse or both. And that number is actually not a whole lot different than when we look at other national representative studies in Australia. For example, the Australian Survey on Health and Relationships from 2012 had about the same number of people who had engaged their first time in vaginal intercourse at 17 or under. That was about 50%. So we haven't seen a lot of change in terms of the actual behavior. It looks like there's probably a little bit of increase in things like oral sex.
Okay.
And so definitely that brings up for sex education, recognizing this is a behavior that young people engage in, and what are the risks in terms of STI transmission, particularly things like chlamydia and gonorrhea.
Yeah. So just in terms of contraception, STI, and HIV prevention methods, what are the trends we're seeing there?
Yeah, so it's a really interesting trend. So what we're seeing is that particularly for the very first vaginal intercourse for young people, we're seeing upwards of 75% said they used a condom that first time. And what we see is as people, young people get older, what they're doing is they're engaging in these sexual behaviors with a partner, usually in some form of a relationship. And so they're having conversations. That was one of the great things that we came out of the surveys. They're definitely having these conversations around, you know, how do we avoid HIV and STIs? Do we want to use a condom? Do we even want to have sex? Right? There's some indications they're having those consent conversations with their partners. So what we see is that while 35% the very first time, that number drops down to about 56% who used condom the last time they had sex.
Right.
And so that change is we're attributing that to they know their sexual, and they told us in some of the follow-up questions, they know their partner's sexual history, they trust their partner, they feel like there isn't as much of a need to use a condom, and they're actually switching to, for the heterosexual young people, they're switching to oral contraception, so using the pill instead as a means to prevent pregnancy.
Okay, cool. So obviously, sources of information around sexual health are important for students. So there are informal channels such as peers and the internet, and also more formal channels such as being covered through subjects at school. What do their responses tell us about where the students are getting their sexual health information and the quality of this information?
Yeah, so we actually didn't, except for in-school sex education, we didn't ask about the quality of the information, but we did look at it as a whole range of sources, so male friends, female friends, mom, dad, GPs, school nurses, teachers, counselors, youth workers, kind of the whole range. And what we're finding is that across all those sources, young people are accessing on average 4 and a bit sources at any given time to get sexual health information. They are most comfortable in talking to female friends as well as mom, but they have the highest level of the trust for GPs in terms of getting accurate information. And in terms of what sources that they've accessed, the vast majority have used the internet at some point to get sexual health information. So they are going there, but they're telling us that they don't necessarily trust the internet to provide accurate information. So they are using some of those critical thinking skills around that. And then we also know that upwards of 86%+ are getting some form of relationships and sex education in school, somewhere between years 7 and 10. And that's usually taught in health and physical education by a teacher. And young people have kind of a moderate sense that that education is relevant to them. So we get a lot of commentary at the end of the survey that talks about what was good about their sex education in schools, but also highlighting areas where they'd like to see improvement. So some of those were having more conversations around diversity and inclusion, so covering LGBTQI issues. And not only just being aware of that, but even going further and saying, okay, I've got either myself or my friends may identify in this way, and I want to see their relationships represented in the classroom. I want to talk about, you know, what does a physical relationship actually look like, and what are the things that we need to be knowing to be able to have appropriate conversations around things like preventing HIV and STIs.
Right. Do you see sort of disparities in the type of sex education that's experienced between, say, public schools and private schools, and then also, again, Catholic schools or religious schools?
No, it's a great question. We actually haven't gotten to the point of drilling down to that level to see if there are differences.
Yep.
But it's very possible. And I know, just kind of anecdotally, that say back in the 1970s, Catholic schools had some of the best sex education around.
Right.
So, you know, it's very possible that that's still happening. And we have some very progressive independent schools in Australia that are doing an amazing job. So, but I imagine that across all school types, there's definitely going to be room for updating curriculum and continuing to improve upon. And I think the biggest message that came out of that for us was that young people want more sex education.
Right.
They're kind of recognizing that we're only getting maybe a unit or, you know, within a, maybe it's a, you know, a health education unit, that they're getting a little bit about sex and relationships, and they want a lot more and they want it sooner. And yeah, so there's room to have those discussions and figure out how do we best impart information to young people and set them up with the skills to have healthy sexual relationships.
Yeah, that's good. All right, well, thank you so much, Christopher. That's been extremely insightful into the sexual health and knowledge of our secondary students in Australia. So thank you for your time.